Romans chapter 5. I'm going to be in Romans 15 for just a moment. We began a message this morning that we're going to finish tonight. We've been talking about our Holy Spirit friend, talking about his saving ministry, talking about his sanctifying ministry, and then the more desirable strengthening ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we shared with you some of the things that he does. As we're going through this study, are you learning a little bit more and more every day about what the Holy Spirit has been doing in your life? He's been doing these things all along, and sometimes we don't even know where to give those credits to. He renews our strength, he brings comfort, he gives us all of these things. He brings to remembrance the things that we have forgotten. He convicts our hearts, he convinces us of a need of a Savior. He does so much. And yet so often we don't even know where to credit that. But he does something that we greatly desire. He strengthens us in our daily lives. How do you think it is that you have the capacity to get up every day, face a new day, face this world? How could you possibly have the courage to turn the news on and see the things that are happening there, listening to the tragedies? It's by the strength of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we talked about what the Holy Spirit does. He brings comfort to us spiritually, mentally, emotionally. He also intercedes for us in the sense that he helps us when we are so infirmed that we can't even pray the things that are on our hearts. The Holy Spirit is there to help us with those utterances. And so he does those things even when we struggle. But there's two more thoughts I wanted to lay on your heart and your mind about the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in your life and how he can help you. And I want us to look at some of these things. Number three is this: the Holy Spirit, he gives patience and he gives hope as well. In Romans chapter 15, you're in Romans 5, and I'll get to you in just a moment. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, Paul wrote this. He said, Now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace in believing. The things that we desire and we struggle so hard to have. He says that you may abound in hope, which the world doesn't have, through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so patience and hope are those things that we want, but we're afraid to pray for them. Most of the time when we go into a struggle, our prayers look like this: Lord, make my life easy again. Lord, make it go away. Lord, please make it stop. Lord, put me back to where I was. And the truth is, most of the time, we don't want to pray for the very thing that the Holy Spirit would do. Just like last week, we talked about how the Holy Spirit searches the hearts and the minds of a person. And we often don't want that because that means that he's going to open some doors that we don't want him to open. He's going to look in some areas in our life that we don't want him to look. And in the same sense, sometimes we don't want to pray for patience and hope because of the process by which these things come into our lives. And I want us to look at this because patience doesn't come on its own. You better be careful when you pray for patience, because the Bible teaches us that patience comes through tribulation. You're in Romans chapter 5. Let's look at that together. I want you to notice the process by which these things come into our lives. Romans chapter 5. Go ahead and back up to verse 1 there. Romans 5, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. That seems like an odd statement, doesn't it? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience works experience, experience works hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the first thing I want you to notice about the Holy Spirit giving patience and giving hope, notice the process by which all this comes. Patience and hope are not easy to come by. For this reason, they come through tribulations. Those of us who struggle with patience know that that's the only way that God's ever going to develop that in your life, is to bring some tribulation into your life. Have you noticed that the writer says in verse 3, the mature Christian knows how to glory in tribulation. What does that mean? Well, the word glory literally means to rejoice in tribulation. Now, how am I supposed to rejoice in my tribulation? I mean, I'm going through a struggle. I'm going through a crisis. I'm going through a heartache that's unthinkable. I mean, we just go through our prayer list, and the prayer list is extraordinary. People going through incredible illnesses. People going through incredible tragedies. You say, Brother Raines, how in the world am I supposed to rejoice in my tribulation? Well, one, the Holy Spirit can teach you how to rejoice to your tribulation. And then number two, if you know that there is a purpose to something, you tend to be able to deal with that thing. We know that when tribulations come, it isn't always God punishing us. We always go, well, it must be that God is angry at me, or I wouldn't be going through these things. No, sometimes tribulations come so that God can mature you in your Christian walk. He says that tribulation works patience. Patience brings experience. Experience brings hope. Have you ever noticed that the older you get, some of you that are older, some of you are older, some of us are not older, some of you are. Have you noticed that the older you get, your patience tends to increase? And you know that it's just for a season. The tribulation you're in is only for a season. And you've also noticed that tribulation, it brings an experience, doesn't it? You know that, listen, hey, I got a hope beyond all of this. I don't have to have all this figured out right now. I don't have to even necessarily deal with this right now. I know that God is taking me through a tribulation. And by my experience, I know that I'm going to come out of this at some point in time. And there is a hope in my life. And it's been said that faith cannot be developed in your comfortable surroundings. I think the reason why so many of us struggle in our spiritual life to grow in patience and in hope is because our faith has never been exercised. Our faith strongly resembles our muscles. We don't exercise them, and then in the moments that we need it the most, we don't have the faith that we need to actually get through the trials and tribulations that we're finding. But he says here that we can glory in tribulations, knowing that the Holy Spirit of God is not only working on us, he is working in us, and he is working through us to bring us to a complete person. So don't be upset when these trials come. This is the process. Whenever you see a person who is going through struggles, and I'm talking about a person who loves the Lord, I'm talking about a person who is trying to serve God, a person who is in the Word of God, who is serving Him, trusting Him, and you see them going through some trials and tribulations, you just know this, that God is getting ready to use them for something magnificent, because He is training them and He is strengthening them through all of these trials. Some years ago, a young preacher friend of mine was going through such trials. He had surrendered to preach. He was just a kid, in my estimation. He was a kid. That's all relative, by the way. Depends who you're talking to. But he was just a kid, in my estimation. And he had surrendered to the ministry. And he said, you know what? I'm going to avail myself to good leadership. So he packed his stuff up, and he moved to a different town. He joined a church under the leadership of a pastor that he thought, this man will be a good mentor to me. I'm going to get under his tutelage, under his leadership. I'm going to get in his church, and I'm going to serve in his church, and he will be what I need to help me take the next step in ministry. And that man, at the age of 38 years of age, passed away from cardiac arrest. The young man is standing there. The pastor that he had gone to work with is now gone. His widow with three children, also expecting a fourth child, is there. And here's this young man going, I don't know what to do. The church is looking at him going, what do we do now? He doesn't know. He helped that church through that difficult time, and it was an incredibly difficult time. He promptly packs up, finds another pastor, and says, you know what? This pastor, he'll be that guy for me. I'll go to him. I'll join his church. I'll get under his tutelage. I'll get under his leadership, and I'll go and learn under him, and he'll help me take the next step in the ministry. And he gets there, and almost immediately the pastor packs his stuff and moves to the northwest part of our country. And he's once again sitting there doing this. I don't know what to do. He's trying to help this young church, this small church, through a difficult time. And here's a kid that doesn't have 15 minutes experience in the ministry is now in this particular situation. So he decides, well, the Lord's going to move me on. I'll just go serve the Lord. And he served in both those places for a little time. And then he moved out to Western Oklahoma and he took a church there, a little church. And almost immediately, the people in his church that had been a staple in his church fell into incredible sin. It was a catastrophe. His church was so much in turmoil and divided over what was going. The church split, and there was just, at one point, there was about 11 or 12 people that were left in the church. And they decided, well, and they're looking at him, and he's calling people like me, and I'm saying, brother, you've been in the ministry an eighth of the time that I've been in the ministry, and you've experienced three times the problems I've experienced in my ministry. He's asking me for answers. I don't have the answers to give him because I've never even experienced the things he's experiencing. And I told him, I said, I tell you what though, I can't wait to see what God is going to do with you, because you are going through some fires right now. He is running you through some tribulations. You are running a gauntlet. Listen, he wasn't running from God. He was running to God. And everywhere he turned, it seemed to be trial and tribulation one after another. But I want to tell you something. It is through trials and tribulations that patience is developed. Maturity is developed through all those hardships. And that young man grew up so fast. And he is a very bright spot in our ministry work, in our association. So when you see somebody like that, just know that God is moving them. Listen, don't take all your trials personally. Just say, hey, God's working on me to move me to the next level. Now, notice not only the process by which this all comes, I want you to notice the power that comes with it, by which it comes. He says the power and strength by which all these things come is the Holy Ghost. On our own, we don't have the power, the bandwidth, the capacity to go through the things that we're going to go through in life. We don't have those things to go through tribulations. But when we love God, the Bible says that these patients, they bring experience. Experience brings hope. And he says that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. He brings the love into our hearts by his Spirit. He mentions patience and hope are the things that we get. And here's how you would define those things. Patience and hope, it is the divinely imparted ability to endure a trial. That's the patience. And to see by the eye of faith the good hand of God through it. That's the hope. It means that I can go through a trial. I can endure this thing because I know that God's hand is still good. Listen, no matter what trial you're going through, God is still good. Amen. He's good all the time. He's always good. That never changes. Your hardship, your heartache, your crisis has not changed the goodness of God. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, you can endure a trial, seeing with the eye of faith the good hand of God in all of it, saying, you know what? Hitherto hath he brought me. He's brought me here for this purpose. And maybe my trial is here in order to redefine me in some ways and to mature me and to perfect me. The Holy Ghost does all of that. We cannot conjure up strength and hope. Strength and hope doesn't come through positive thinking. It isn't, well, I'll just have more positive thoughts. I'm positive that you're going to fail if that's what you're trying to accomplish. Positive thinking doesn't do it. The Holy Spirit of God helps us to endure every trial with a spiritual confidence that God is still in control. So here's one thing he does. The Holy Spirit of God comforts us. He intercedes for us. He brings patience, and he brings hope to us. And here's the last thought, number four. The Holy Spirit, and this is the part we're all looking for, he renews our strength. He renews our strength. I'm so thankful for the strengthening hand of the Holy Spirit on my life. All along the way of life, the Holy Spirit is there to lift us up and to bring us through the most difficult and most emotional times of our life. Think about the dynamics of his renewing strength. Have you ever heard the term, I guess we all have, your second wind? If you ever ran track, you probably have an idea what that means. The idea behind your second wind is that as you're running, you get weary. They say there is a physiological and a psychological aspect of all of that. That the athlete somehow finds that inside his mind that he can go back to peak performance once he hits a wall of fatigue. He can continue to press through that wall, and at some point, psychologically and physiologically, he will hit a second stride by which he doesn't feel as fatigued as he once did. Sometimes we have that in our lives. You're trying to drive all through the night. You're trying to get to Florida, Brother Darren, and your family wants to go to Florida, and against all good judgments, you say, I'm going to take my family to Florida. I'm going to drive them down there. And, you know, you're headed, you get to Arkansas, life is good. Red Bull is in full swing, and you're headed through Arkansas, then you hit Mississippi and Alabama, and you hit a wall down there somewhere. I drove to Florida with Mark Cameron about 20 years ago, and I drove us all the way to Tennessee, and I gave Mark the wheel about Tennessee, and he drove us into the Z across Mississippi like this. We went into Mississippi, and I went to sleep in Mississippi. I woke up in Mississippi. I said, Mark, how are we still in Mississippi? So I just wanted to see the state. He went through Atlanta Z. Fatigue set in, but we hit a second wind, didn't we, Mark? We made it all the way to Florida, all the way back. We were young back then. It was easier to find your second wind. I'm teasing about Mark. I just like to give him a hard time. But you find a second wind. When you're running and you get weary, all of a sudden that burst of energy comes into your life. And when you think you have gone as far as you can go in your spiritual life, here comes the Holy Ghost, here comes the Holy Spirit to give you a second wind in your sail. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, he said, I have often felt too far spent to minister from the pulpit to men and women who have filled stadiums to hear a message from the Lord. He said, yet again and again, in weakness, it has vanished and my strength has been renewed. He said, I have been filled with God's power, not only in my soul, but physically. He said, on many occasions, God has become especially real to me, and he has sent his unseen angelic visitors to touch my body and let me be his messenger for heaven, speaking as a dying man to dying men. He understood what it is. And I think everybody probably to some degree experiences spiritual fatigue. And what happens to us is right about the time that we think that we want to quit and go, well, you know what? It's not worth it. I don't think anybody cares as much as I care. It doesn't seem like I'm making a difference. It doesn't seem like the message is hitting anybody's ear. About the time that you become spiritually and physically weak, the Holy Spirit of God comes and he touches you in a spiritual way that you can't explain. And all of a sudden, what you wanted to quit now becomes your number one priority yet once again. Only the Spirit does that. He comes along and he provides you with a second wind. Here's some of the ways that it could come to you. It could come through words of encouragement. And by the way, as Christians, just FYI, this is one of the reasons why our words are so important. It's one of the reasons why it's so important as Christians to be an encourager, because when you come along and you say something to somebody else that's encouraging, you never know just how deep in the race they really are. You don't know how fatigued they might be spiritually, and you don't know how your words of encouragement might actually come along and bolster them into a second wind and push them down the course just a little bit further. Sometimes that second wind comes through a couple of victories. It's nice to have some wins, isn't it? As Christians, we need some wins. A few weeks ago, Brother John Paul came forward this morning and presented himself as a candidate for baptism, having given his life to Christ. On the week that he gave his life to Christ, I was having a tough week. I'm not going to lie to you. You were a blessing. You were a second wind in my spiritual sail. Just that night alone, I had several hard conversations. Work had been hard. I came to church and faced things. I faced things at home. I faced things in my personal life, my financial life. I came to church and faced some angry people, some upset people. I spent the evening apologizing to people and trying to make things right. And then I spent a conversation with somebody who'd been through some incredible hardships and trying to understand their pain and their issues. And I was so mentally, emotionally, and spiritually fatigued, and I was just about to walk out of that door with my head hanging down, and John Paul said, hey, Brother Matt, can I talk to you? Sure. What do you want to talk about? I need to be saved, Brother Matt. Whew. The Holy Spirit brought brand new energy. Did I seem tired when we talked, John Paul? But when we began to talk, did I fatigue out? No, I talked for 30 minutes. I finally had to shut myself up. He was like, listen, I didn't come here for all this. I just need to be saved. What must I do to be saved? And I was like, well, let me give you a 45-minute Israeli Hebrew lesson here. And we prayed together. And when I went out the door, I was about to go out the door completely emotionally defeated and exhausted. And instead, I got a second wind. Victories help a Christian get second winds. The Holy Spirit brings, and I think the Holy Spirit, I know that He knows when we need that. And He brings it in the moment you need it the most. So you just run. You run your race looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And in the moment that you need it the most, the Holy Spirit is going to come along and He is going to renew your strength. That is the dynamic of what He does. Now, I want you to know the delivery of this, not just the dynamic of this renewing strength. Think about the delivery of all of this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, go with me over there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. While you're turning there, let me read a verse to you from Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians, Paul wrote this. He said that he would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. By His Spirit, He strengthens you in your inner man. Forget about your outer man. Is your outer man tired? Say amen if he's tired. Amen. And here's what happens to you. All you young people, listen to me. There will come a day you'll turn a corner. You won't see it coming, but you'll turn a corner when you realize that you'll never not be tired ever again. You wake up tired, you go to bed tired, you live your life tired, you play sports tired, you do everything tired. Everything is tired. And you're never going to not be tired ever again. It doesn't matter if you slept 12 hours. By the way, you turn another corner where you can't sleep more than 6, right? And you barely get 6. And your outer man is perishing. But He says that His renewing doesn't necessarily come to your outer man. His renewing comes to your inner man. That's where you need the strength, is in your inner man. Let your outer man perish to some degree. He's going to perish anyway. He comes, the Holy Spirit comes to renew your inner man. And it is your inner man that drives your outer man. It's the person who's on the inside of you that drives the person on the outside of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 16 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says there, he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, he doesn't say month by month or year by year. Forget all that. You can't say, well, here's, Lord, give me a bunch of spiritual strength. Give me enough to last me a whole year. He's not going to do that. The transcendent friend, the Holy Ghost, walks with you moment by moment, day by day. He wakes up with you to give you strength in that day in your inner man. Your outer man is going to perish. But his strength comes to your inner man. The Holy Spirit doesn't stock it up. He wants you to live with Him day by day. Paul says that we are to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. This is one of the reasons why you need to get up every morning and say, God, today is your day. I'm going to recognize that you are in charge of this day. You're in control. And today I want you to walk with me. I'm going to put my hand in your hand. I'm going to try to have your eyes. And I want you to go before me step by step. And Lord, when I get weary, and Lord, I know I'll get weary. I woke up weary. I want you to renew my inner man today. Forget about tomorrow, just today. And the Bible says, though our outward man perisheth, our inner man is renewed day by day. The psalmist said in Psalm 73, verse 26, he said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and He is my portion forever. He does that by the Holy Ghost. Do you see how He strengthens? Where He strengthens in your inner man. About the time you're ready to quit. You ever wanted to quit? He strengthens in your inner man. how he strengthens, he does it by his Spirit. When he strengthens, he does it day by day. What an amazing companion we have in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you came in weary, and some of you are going through some hardships. Some of you are struggling. Some of you have gotten some bad news, and some of you are having to deal with tragedies, and some of you are going through personal battles that maybe nobody else sees. I want you to know something, that you have a transcendent friend in the Holy Spirit who sees all your battles. And there's not one thing that you're struggling with that his heart isn't touched with your grief, that he doesn't feel your struggle. The Bible says about Jesus in Hebrews that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows your battles. He knows your struggles. And he renews your strength in the inner man by his Spirit day by day. What a blessing. I'm going to have our musicians come. We're going to prepare to close. I want to share something with you. One of the most famous scriptures in all of the Bible when it comes to renewing our strength comes from Isaiah. It comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." I came across this. It says, when the Bible mentions the renewing as of an eagle, says he may be referring to the molting process in an eagle's life. As eagles age, their beaks and their talons become encrusted with calcium. Thus, neither is as sharp as they once were. When this happens, the aging eagle cannot hunt as effectively as he once did. As he ages, he also loses some of his feathers. I understand that feeling. When this happens, it causes his body to whistle in the air as he dives towards his prey. This destroys his ability to hunt in silence, thus further reducing his effectiveness as a hunter. When the eagle enters this period of life, he will descend from soaring in the heights above and find himself a place in the rocks. And there he will pluck out all of his feathers and break off his own calcium-encrusted beak against the rocks. He will even scratch his talons against the rocks until they are reduced to nubs. At this point, the eagle is absolutely vulnerable and defenseless. Many eagles die during this process because they cannot feed themselves, neither can they escape their predators. But it is during this time a wonderful thing begins to happen to those who survive. One day, the feathers of an eagle begin to grow back. His beak also will grow back. His talons will regrow as long and as sharp as they ever were before. And after a time, the eagle will step out of the rocks, flap his great wings, and take to the skies once again in victory. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Are you walking through some hard times right now? I know it's Sunday night. I know it's just a small Sunday night crowd, but that means nothing. Many of us walk through here with great battles that we face every day, great burdens that we carry, great struggles that we maybe don't even let other people in on. Somebody walks by and they say, "How are you?" You say, "I'm fine." All the while you know you're not. And while you may not let other people lean on your struggle, listen, there is a friend. It's the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to help you through. He wants to renew your strength. He wants to build patience and hope in you. He wants to come and be your second wind and give you the strength that you need to get through this day and then the next day. He renews in the inner man by his Spirit. Day by day. As our piano begins to play, I want to ask you a question. Do you need strengthening today? now is the time to receive it. And this would be a great opportunity. I know all the brave faces of all the brave Christians that come to church on Sunday nights, and who are the faithful, who are the warriors who struggle through so many things. I know that it would be hard for some of us to even admit we have a problem, but now would be a great time to get on your knees and say, you know what? I can't do this on my own. I'm struggling through life. I'm having a hard time. And Lord, I know that sometimes I try to be independent of you, but tonight I'm just coming, Lord, to give myself to you wholly and say, Lord, today give me strength. We'll deal with tomorrow tomorrow. We'll deal with tomorrow's problems when I wake up, but Lord, tonight I just need your strength for today. I need your comfort in this dark hour of tragedy or crisis. Whatever your need is tonight, he's standing at the door. He's knocking. You can come. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song of invitation. What number are we singing, Brother Darren? Page 254. Would you come tonight while we sing?